Sup, everyone. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Gamecast. I am one of your hosts, Kenny, and with me is Tess.
Also known as wet blanket, also known as dry, tired clothing, also known as I'm tired. I just got a job. Man, months. I'm tired.
Wait, wet
Anyway.
blanket?
And just whatever. The point is sad and depressed. I'm that cloud that followed Winnie the Pooh around.
Oh gosh.
Well, but wait a minute. But he was, sorry, actually, that's a wrong reference because Winnie the Pooh dipped himself in like some paint so that he could be the little black rain cloud
Yes.
hovering over the honey tree so that he could trick the honey bees to steal the honey. That's not me. I'm the cloud that follows Eeyore around.
Yes, there you go.
Yes,
That's
right now.
rough. Well, hopefully tonight's show will liven the spirits and whatnot as we talk about some black excellence. Before we get
Yes.
into that, just a little bit about the week. Not a whole lot happened for the most part. I was able to my oh, that's what I wanted to talk about. My article went up. So for the few people who
Ooh.
know, I had been working on an article for EGM Now, my second article for them, for about a month and some change, maybe a little bit more. And I had all these interviews with all these different developers and whatnot. And it was basically the topic was, are for-profit game development schools still worth it? And we kind of broke down how people kind of get into the gaming industry and is it necessary to go through schooling? Because of, the amount of debt you can accrue trying to go through schooling and the fact that you're not guaranteed a job. And then there's also not, I didn't interview any schools that I thought was predatory, but that's also that notion as well. And so I talked with a bunch of them and everything, and unfortunately Corona hit and EGM had to cancel all the articles that were being done by freelancers. And so my article was one of them. And so I was a bit bummed because I had a lot of all this great content. Well, Uppercut Crit dot com, they actually crowd sourced or crowdfunded to pay for all of the EGM writers or freelancers who couldn't, who EGM couldn't afford to have us all basically submit our articles there, and they bought them from us. And so that was months ago. Yeah, so that was months ago, and I had pitched this, repitched the story essentially to them, and they were like, they will take it. They paid me, which was a little weird because usually I get paid after stuff goes up. There's only been a few times where I got paid before, so I was like, oh, I really gotta deliver. So, but I had already done the interviews and stuff, so did all the transcribing, wrote the thing, sent it out, and it actually went up yesterday on their site. And it's a lot of people like it. I had to cut it down a little bit. It was a ton of content, and I wasn't sure, being that I had never worked with this site before, about how long it could be. But I like the way it turned out. I got to talk to a lot of cool people, and have their quotes and stuff in there. So I'm pleased. Also within that span, I was able to write two articles for two different sites, and one of them went up. Actually, I turned it in earlier today, like before lunch, and it went up like an hour later. So
That's productive.
yes, I'm tired, but positive. I was playing the new game Grounded, which is basically Honey I Shrunk the Kids, and it's been a blast. And so I wrote a guide, like a short guide for it, for Game Skinny, so go check that out. Yeah. But aside from that, the week has been, it's been kind of, it's been all right for the most part. How about you?
I mean, I went to work and I just don't really like this. This is not about this. I mean, I wasn't really about the whole being unemployed, staying at home either, and kind of laying in bed and like being depressed and not getting any unemployment like all these other people. I heard this one kid was getting unemployment when he only had an internship, an unpaid internship. How you have an unpaid internship and then you qualify for unemployment because of COVID?
That's
It
interesting. That's
was
definitely interesting.
unpaid. I'm like, I couldn't get any financial assistance. Anyway, outside of me not getting any financial assistance and being super broke and being like, yo, this life isn't for me. I was like, okay, yeah. So I took this other job and it is just a hot mess. It's just a hot mess.
Goodness.
It's,
Well,
it makes you really question things. It's just like, you know, even when you were at home and broke and not contributing to society because you didn't even leave your house, do you feel like this is a better option? And no.
getting but
When you're.
being getting money is always nice. Like that's, you know.
But it's like, what are you willing to do for it? And it's being trampled over by somebody else's mediocrity is really, really getting. It's just at that point where it's like, dang, I left the comfort of my bed to act this live, and I need to see this finale. And I watched it. So what was she doing? I said, what's your excuse for losing? What's your excuse? What is it? I didn't get a response.
Goodness, that's that's rough. That's rough.
Pain.
But I mean, it's, you know, to be fair, and well, I can't say speak on that, but I know that there was a time where watching The Walking Dead and they were having a, you know, the finale or whatever, not every country sees it at the same time, and
Accurate.
AMC was posting like the like stuff that happened during the show when we could see it but not overseas, and people were like, yo, like, and it, 'cause it's like it's not even fair, 'cause like we didn't get it the opportunity to watch, so it's like, dang, homie, like, and it's, and it is, as you want to like stay off of it, but I can totally understand if you're on social media and it's not on yet. I could totally understand like being dumbfounded, like how could this happen? And they actually, you know, they submitted apology and everything, and you know, they kind of won everybody back over, but it was still like, dang, like it was, you know, give us a moment, man, like just post it everywhere.
Man.
The people that kill me though are the websites that actually have, because you know, like if you go to a website and they're reviewing a show or they're talking about a show, they usually say, they'll say whatever they say, and then they'll say spoiler. So like whatever's after the spoiler is the stuff you should avoid, right? There's some sites that in the heading of it was the spoiler. For
That's
instance,
not even fair.
right. So for instance, spoiler, give you 5 seconds. Five, four, three, it doesn't matter. Look, within a week of the Avengers film. Wait, did you see the Avengers?
Yeah, with the all of I saw all of them.
Oh, okay,
I
good,
just
good,
I didn't see Ms. Marvel, I mean Captain Marvel, and yeah, I didn't see Captain Marvel.
good. Okay, cool. So this the most recent Avengers, you know, prominent person dies. And in the heading, it was like, why did so and so die? And I was like, wait. What? And I was like, whatever hate you're gonna be getting is all your fault. Like, you didn't have to do that. You could have said, you know, prominent figure dies, like I did. You could have been like, why does this hero die? You know, spoiler alert, blah, blah, blah. Like, no, you actually wrote the name of the character that dies, showed a picture of them in the death moment, and was like, why? And I was like, I don't understand. It was only a week. It was only a week.
That's messed
And
up.
I was like, that's super, because if you're not, it, I don't think you ever have to go to the point where you're totally off the internet. Like, we should be able to get on the internet without seeing spoilers. Because people have jobs to do. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like you're on Facebook. It's like, I'm, you know how like you turn on, you know, you go into whatever, like if you have Chrome or I don't know, probably just Chrome. And you go and like you click on something and it's like they have like the news postings that like whatever that day is, MSN or whatever. And that's where it was. It was just like boom. And it was like, dang, like you were just blindsided by stuff you didn't want to see. So in that sense, that's super trash.
Yeah,
Interesting though.
that is trash.
Yeah. But this is a good segue because we are getting ready to spoil a little bit about a show that we like called Insecure. Before we do that
Yeah,
though, we want to
it's
shout
all
out,
spoilers.
yeah, for the most part, this is basically a spoiler cast. But before we get into all that good stuff, we do want to talk about how Insecure and the cast have been nominated for 8 Emmys this year. And
Yes.
Yes, clap it up, clap it up.
Black excellence.
It's quite awesome. So, Issa Rae and Co., like I said, have been nominated for 8 Emmys. They are, let's see, Issa Rae has been nominated for Outstanding Lead Actress, and
Yes.
Yvonne, I can't say her last name,
Yvonne Orji.
Orji, okay, who plays Molly Carter on the show, is up for Outstanding Supporting Actress in a Comedy Series. Then outside of that, they have Outstanding Casting for a Comedy Series, Outstanding Cinematography for a Single Camera Series, Outstanding Single Camera Picture Editing for a Comedy Series, Outstanding Music Supervision, which they should have got all the time, and Outstanding Comedy Series overall. And that is pretty awesome.
I'm super excited about that.
Yeah, and it's because it's what season are we on?
This was four.
Four
So this was
season?
season four.
Yeah.
And in all honesty, I don't know what their plans are. I don't know how many seasons they intend on giving us. You know, we're being blessed right now. HBO is on board with this show. The show has a huge following. So I just hope that every year they just keep giving more money and the show just gets to keep it coming because it doesn't get tired. You know, like they introduce new things every season and every season has a tone. You know, and I do think that this season was well called low key because
Right.
every episode really, really had these low key undertones, even when you had the episode full of outbursts and she had a gun.
Yeah.
Even that was still because the solution to the problem was really like, I'm not going to deal with it. You know, I'm low key fine. So I'm
Yeah.
low-key over it.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
So
I'm
yeah,
feeling that. All right, this is our show.
it's Insecure is aptly titled. I will
Yeah.
they get a solid title. And if you guys haven't seen it before, definitely go check it out on HBO, streaming right now. Like it's like we the fourth season just it ended a few months ago, but yeah, totally go see it. With that being said, we're going to spoil it here.
Of course. What the heck? Why? First of all, I'm not going to say it was me who called it. I'm not going to say it was me, but Instagram had posted some people's because we first of all, we grew up on soap opera. So we already know
Yeah.
what the deal is, okay? Somebody like 3 episodes, 4 episodes or whatever prior to the final episode posted a picture of a pregnant gondola. I call her, I call her gondola. I don't like her name. Her name is Condola. I call her gondola anyway, because she kind of just like sails right through. So, it's just the fact that they had a picture of her pregnant and it was weeks prior to the end. And it was like, she was in a white shirt, okay? She was in a white t-shirt or tank top with a big belly. So somebody had photoshopped this.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, and it was on Instagram and I was cracking up because I was like, this better not be the tea. Like, this was weeks prior. This was the episode where, like, I don't remember if it was Lawrence and Issa were talking outside while they were supposed to be at What's Her Face's for the baby shower.
Right.
Or if it was the episode where he was like, oh, you know, we're not together, or the block party episode when Gondola was like, oh, we broke up. So I can't remember. Somebody had posted it back then. They were like, yeah, right, watch this. Like, watch Gondola be pregnant. And then everybody was like, nah, that's not the tea for this episode because it ended up not being that. Remember, like they broke up and it was kind of like, oh. And then you know, things kind of were able to move on smoothly with Issa and I always call him Blue. But you know, like things were supposed to, were going smoothly, so it ended up not being the tea. But the fact that that person had posted that picture before, like yo, if this is what happens in this episode today, and then it didn't happen that episode, so everybody got calm. And then of course, here you go at the end of the season, and then she's like, yeah, I'm pregnant, I'm keeping it, and you just look at that. That Grace is like, Why? I don't want this.
Yeah, I. But see, you know what's interesting? And this is something that one of the reasons why I wasn't surprised outside of the of everything that they've been hinting at was they've been showing they were showing Lawrence's canoodling way before the, like this season, like when he broke up with, or him and Issa had falling out because she cheated and all this other stuff. He immediately went to someone else, and then after that went to someone else, and then I think had a threesome at one point, and then like, and it was I think he there was one part or one episode where he was in a clinic and kind of like getting, yeah, like getting checked out. So it was like, essentially, you're being reckless. Like this isn't new for him, even though he's gotten his life together in terms of his employment, career, and he's making amends with everyone who he ever kind of crossed for the most part. Yeah, it's like you were always kind of messy in that regard. So it's kind of like, well, duh, like you didn't learn anything, like.
I feel bad for Lawrence in a way, because like, and I'm obviously he wasn't being careful. Even in that episode he says to her, he's like, I thought we were careful. And she's like, we were. And I thought it was funny because my sister said to me, we were watching it together, and she was like, you know, that's literally what all guys say when an accident happens. Like, I thought we were careful. Were we? Were we?
Right, like.
like, let's just be real here. But like, but were we? Because, I like, let's like everybody just pause and really read between the lines of were we? Because dude loves saying that. Loves saying that. And we're like, yeah, remember that one time? Yeah. Only takes one time, dude.
Facts,
so.
and you know, like you don't stop, like, oh, I'm so shocked. Like, no, if anything, it might have been a shock, the timing, but if anything, he'd have been like, you know what? Like thinking back, he'd been like, oh yeah, that one time, yeah,
And
because.
I feel bad for her because, for example, and his friends even said this, Lawrence has bad friends, but Lawrence is a girlfriend guy. This is a guy who always has to stay in a relationship. He was with Issa for 5 years. And before that, he was, with somebody else. I think they talked about that in one episode or whatever. He's a girlfriend guy. This is a guy who's in a relationship. He's always in a relationship. He's not a guy who's single. That's just, he has that personality. I know girls like that. That's just people. And so, right after Issa, obviously she's the one who cheated, and he ended up with the girl who was giving him attention.
Right.
And, but that wasn't gonna end up ever being a serious thing, and it didn't. And then right after her, what happened? He went to the girl at the tech firm, which seemed more of a match to him, but then he was showing his jealous side, and he wasn't really bad about it. And it was like, okay, well, fine. After he stopped being the girlfriend guy, the guy who was actually in his mind thinking that he was the girlfriend guy, like trying to have a solid relationship, and also getting out of a long-term relationship and trying to step into something that would have had the semblance of a real relationship. Here he is hanging out with really not the bestest of friends, because his friends are not great friends. And then he's like, you know what? I'm free. I'm gonna get back what I lost all those 5 years. He was doing everything possible. But when he caught the clap, that's when he actually got himself together. And the doctor was like, yo, you might want to and then he was like, yeah, you're right, I'm gonna calm down. And he seemed to have got his stuff together, because he wasn't like doing the randos anymore. At least that's what it seemed like. It wasn't about randos anymore. Because what happened at the end of season three, when him and Issa met up at the thing, or it wasn't at the total end, but it was what, Lawrence's birthday, and then everybody was at that outdoor movie.
Right.
Yeah. And at that time, Lawrence clearly was, he had gotten his life together, with work and everything like that. And he was just at that point where he was like, I want normalcy again. I want to go back to being the guy I was. I'm not this guy. I'm not my best friend. I'm not the guy who sleeps around and does all this stuff and then, ends up at a clinic. He's the girlfriend guy. And here he was with Issa that day. They were at the thing, and then he's like, hey, Issa, I thought you were trying to do this thing. I thought you were trying to do this activity. What happened? And then Issa's like, oh, it was too hard. I quit. And that was when Lawrence had to draw his boundary. The thing about Lawrence is that he's not vocal. And we see that in the final episodes when him and Issa get back together. He's not really vocal about his feelings. He's not really honest about what's going on inside of him. He kind of just goes, yeah. And he kind of just like kind of goes along with it. In that moment, that was really his opportunity to be like, oh, you know what, Issa? The thing that I don't like about you is that sometimes you quit. Or a thing that I don't like about you is that you're not really driven to do your passion. You don't follow your passion. And it emotionally, he kind of shut down on her in that moment, right? They were having a good moment. And he shut down on her kind of like, okay, well, I'm going to go back and do what I was thinking. It was nice hanging out with you again. Because he was kind of looking at maybe we can rekindle, but then he saw that quitter side of her come in and he was like, I can't deal with that in my life right now. I'm moving forward. And so what did he do? He moved on. And then he ended up meeting Gondola at the baby shower.
Yeah.
And nobody was happy. Nobody
What I mean is
was happy.
his well, it kind of makes sense because his the whole thing with her cheating was the idea that she kind of gave up.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things that was like telling for everyone, 'cause like there where everybody was like, okay, Lawrence, okay, you have a point in terms of Issa doing something bad and how you kind of lashed out inwardly and outwardly in terms of your actions, right? And so it's like you have a valid point, but then at a certain point it's like, okay, now you're being a jerk. Like when he was dating the one girl and he didn't come back to the family reunion, it was like
Yeah.
you're being really you're wishy-washy. And even though Issa did some bad stuff, it's like you're not handling it well. But I think in that moment when they were at the outdoor movie thing, I think that that kind of brought up like, you know what? If I do get back with this person, and let's say something doesn't go right, then is she gonna like go step out again? Is she gonna do whatever? So
Yeah.
like, I to me, I felt like that was a moment to be like, let me pump the brakes a little bit.
Yeah, he drew a boundary.
Yeah, like let me just wait and kind of see. And you know, fast forwarding till now, it's like, okay, I kind of get it. They were able to get to a point where they can talk and just be open. And that was the first time, like after doing that, everything was fine. And granted, you know, obviously you're gonna have to take some time because that's, you know, they were together for 5 years, so that's rather hurtful. But the fact that they could talk meant that they were both in a good place, and meant that mentally this was like a stable thing that they could do. And they wouldn't go backwards. Like if they went back together, it wasn't a we're just gonna roll back into what we were before. Like no, both of us are gonna be better. And it was working, which is why the pregnancy was so trash.
Total
However,
trash.
or actually, let me ask you, if you're in Issa's place, what would you do in terms of, because the way they hinted in the at the end was like, I can't, she was like, I can't do this.
It's too much.
And I think that was, you know, because of Molly, and we'll get to that in a sec. But what would you like being in that position? Like you finally get back with the person, and I think they were together for at least a month, and things are going really, really well. What would you do then? Because it's
It could
not.
have been even longer than a month, or like, because I feel like the entire show, the show was like a back and forth thing, but
Right.
it could have been even longer than that, honestly, just to because it was like it's supposed to be trying to catch up with like the present day. And so if the season can like ends in June, like it's supposed to be catching up to that time, and we know that the whole season like started before Thanksgiving. It started like before Halloween, didn't
Right.
it?
Yeah,
Like the timeline. So it may have been even longer than that, but I feel two different ways because A, like I'm luckily I haven't ever been in the situation where I'm with a guy who impregnated another girl and I'm trying to figure out what's going on with us. But if I insert myself, if I truly honestly insert myself into Issa's shoes, into where she is at the end of that season, everything she's been through and how she's matured and grown in life. If I were that person who said it's just too much, like the way that she did say it, I may have to draw a line. I may have to actually draw that boundary and be like, I don't think like that this is meant for us. I would have this feeling that the world doesn't, the universe is not trying to have us together as a couple, and not in a way, not like walk away from him so that he can be with Gondola of all people, but it's a boundary. It's this idea that, you know what, she managed to get her life together on her own, as he managed to get his life together on his own. When they were together, the both of them were suffering. They weren't communicating, and they weren't doing what they wanted. That he was too depressed to do his projects, the things that really, really got him going. And the things that really, really got her going was stuff that was actually like based in art. She didn't realize that she liked curating stuff before, but she knew that she was creative. I mean, she loved her little, you know, writing her little raps and stuff. She is a creative person, and she has these artistic tendencies. She just didn't know how to express it. And being in a relationship where you're taking care of somebody else because they're emotionally unstable, it's like the two of them were just bad for each other. I don't even want to say bad for each other. They just weren't helping each other. Their relationship right. was bad for a long time. It wasn't bad for 3 months. It wasn't bad for 5 months. It was bad for years. They had like a good 2 years of their relationship, and then it went south. But they stayed together that whole time. So they got to see the worst sides of each other. And that's not even necessarily the bad thing, to see the worst sides of somebody. That means that you know them in and out. But it's like when you separate and then pull yourselves out of whatever funk you were to create a functioning individual, you are both wonderfully functioning individuals, and you were able to come back together, express your love, and also express to each other, hey, if I got to move to another city, that's where I'm going. And the other person is strong enough to say, I'm not going to stop you. Whether or not our relationship can stand us being in two separate places, we can figure that out. If it's not going to work, then they both admitted that they were strong enough to not stop each other. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, they were clear on that they were not going to be in each other's way, even if it meant breaking up. So for me, if I was in that situation where it's like, by the way, I'm about to have a baby with my ex who was never really fully officially a real, like, and I used to work with that girl, and now it's just going to be this awkward thruple-ish, like, like weird auntie mama situation, I may have to walk. What if that doesn't make me happy? It may never yeah. make me happy. And I'm not like, if I try to put myself in a different situation, like I envision a whole different relationship with somebody else who's not Jay Ellis, because I'd do anything for Jay Ellis. He said he wanted to have a baby with somebody else. I'd be like, okay, I wasn't about to have any anyway.
Terrible.
Hey, it's Jay Ellis. Okay. I'd be doing anyway, moving on. So, but I'm saying, if I were Issa in that situation, somebody who has really, really worked hard to get to where I was, and if I foresee that this is just going to make me unhappy, I would just have to walk away. I could see that for me. I could also see Issa trying to make it work, but can you imagine her, like Issa's character, trying to make it work and then not being resentful?
It's possible, but with everything that's been going on, it's going to be difficult, like regardless. Yeah. Like the... I got it, especially in her position where the only thing that seemed to be going well was them, you know, yeah. I mean, granted the block party thing that she did was solid. And the guy that she was talking to before, Nathan, after, you know, he disappeared Nate. And reappeared.
I love Nate.
They were able to get, you know, to fix that. So they're still friends. So like mm-hmm. those two pieces were fine. But as far as like her relationship with Molly, you know, her relationship with, you know, because like I said, or like you said, Condola, they were friends, and then finding out that she was dating Lawrence was like an explosion. And then she kind of just didn't show up. Like, she showed up like the day of the event, but was just gone yeah. for however long. And so
yeah.
that was explosive. And then just like there were so many dominoes that were falling down for her. Like, because, you know, she's the, I think she's the, what is it, what do you call it, not the landlord, but the...
She's the property manager.
Property manager. Right, yeah. So, like, people's showers not working and all this other stuff, and, like, so, like, the highlights of her life for that moment was the fact that she was getting along with her brother, and the block party went without a hitch, and her Lawrence. So in the midst of that, we have the big Molly break, fight, and then this bomb drops. So it's like the next season is gonna start with like nobody in the right like Issa's gonna be a mess a little bit. More so than normal, I think. Because she doesn't have her best friend to kind of lean on, and the other person she would talk to is having a baby with someone. So rough.
It definitely rough. I want to make a side note because remember how you're talking about the apartment? She's a property manager. Okay. I have a couple of comments to make, but only one that's really, really pressing because everyone should have the same question. And I did not check Reddit to see what people had to say because I just didn't have the wherewithal. Did she move? Because I'm pretty sure that she lives on the bottom floor. Why in the last episode is she smoking a joint on a balcony?
I don't
Does
know.
she have two levels? And if so, when did she get that upper level? They ain't never shown that balcony ever. And I have another question. Remember when she left Lawrence's house that night? I wasn't even ready for that. That's a, again, another part of the conversation. But when she left his house after they had their fling and he was like, "You need a ride?" And she was like, "Nah, I'm good." And she walked. I was like, "A, you live around the corner. Why are you walking up the hill that looks like you're walking to your mom's house?" Because I was so confused. I just thought that maybe she was just taking an extra long walk of shame, which had no shame. It was like all glory. And I'm like, but that's not where your apartment is. So did she move? Where did that balcony come from? I know where the joint came from, but where'd the balcony come from?
I don't know because they make a point to say that she lives around the corner. Like when they went to dinner that one point, before they spoke about all the messiness, she was like, "I live just around the way from you now." So yeah, I'm a little confused because she yeah, it was a long walk, and I might have to go back and look at that episode again. But she was way further than what it seemed, and so it wasn't that she couldn't walk. But she wasn't going home. At least that's what it looked
No.
like. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure. And she could have moved, but then that's not something that they brought up. That's not something that they, emphasized. Unless I missed something, that wasn't something that was, because even right before the block party, that's when all the tenants came in and was like, my shower doesn't work and all of that. And then in the midst of the block party, some of her tenants came there. So apparently this is all in a close, locale to where she lives.
It's an I would. Like, please don't shorten our names. Please don't give our names acronyms. Please don't do that to us.
So yeah, it was and then
Nothing
that episode where everything went bad, where she tried to give the guy a ride and the girls ditched her at the
yeah. Yep.
place. I really wish she would have hit her over the head like with the painting for real. That would have been
I
great
would
for
have been
me.
in jail.
That
I
would
would
have
have been in
been
jail that
that would have been so great. But yeah, like basically, I can understand her not wanting to be with Lawrence, but I can also see her trying to be because this was one of
night.
the only places that was working in terms of being around. Because her other friends, it can be kind of flaky or just aren't very responsible. Like Molly was the most responsible one, and she's lost her mind. Moving, actually, this we could talk about Molly, right? She is, I think this is one. The thing that bothers me the most about these type of shows is people never say what they ought to say to one another. And I know that happens in real life, but it just feels like it's extra fabricated here. It's one of the reasons why I can't watch Curb Your Enthusiasm. It's just too much of that. But Molly was like, and they say it like all throughout, even when she went to therapy and her new boyfriend and all this other stuff, it was like, just say what you have to say. Like, get that out instead of having these, I'm just gonna be upset by myself and I'm just gonna throw like mad shade at whoever's around me. Just no. Or either like, or she'll say something that kind of cuts at someone. And it's like, you're not trying very hard. And there was a point where like Issa was like, why do I have to be the one that kind of goes and apologize and all this other stuff? And at first I was like, you know what, Issa? You should just go apologize. That's your friend. But then after how Molly was acting, I was like, nah, fam, like don't nah. Nope. Not at all. But then like the biggest thing that annoyed me was the I guess this was the final straw for everybody, but when she was upset that she asked her friend to talk to her boyfriend about getting crap, what was the rapper's name?
Yeah, she wanted to get
I
no,
just
you're right.
felt
I forgot the artist because I didn't care. But
he's cool. Vince Staples, yeah. And she was like, you know, you went behind my back, and she was like, well, you weren't helping, and it wasn't like I didn't see it as betrayal, because she was saying that she didn't want to be the one to ask because she'd wanted to separate, I guess, business from pleasure. That's the wrong term, but she just kind of wanted to separate those parts. So to have her friend, who's the roommate, ask to, you know, for assistance, I don't think that was necessarily the same thing.
It
I can get why you're a little upset, but enough to be like,
wasn't.
to really want to fight someone, like.
The representation of that was showing that Molly has the wrong idea about a lot of things. But part of Molly's character and part of the reason she's a lawyer is because she trusts her own judgment to be right. You know, she really, Molly really, really does have this idea that what she thinks is accurate. Like her feelings are not just valid, but her feelings are like they're scientific postulates. You know, like they're real. And it seems very hard for her to kind of think outside of it, which is one reason why therapy is supposed to help her, because she needs to be able to understand that those thoughts are not like your own experience is valid because it's your experience, but you also have to understand that there is still truth outside of the experience that you have. And Molly, it still has this fear of having her relationships go to shit. But the thing is, Molly has always been the cause of her relationships going to shit. And so finally, when she met somebody that it was actually going good, but she also ended up losing her friend, the real battle that she was having was proving to the world that she can make her relationship work on her own. And it scared her to have this the actual person who has been the more truth giver, you know, the one who's told her over and over again, hey, you're responsible for ruining all your relationships. I've actually asked her something in which she has to then ask the man that she's so like desperately trying to make a relationship work with. It's like Molly, even though Issa's ask was not a big ask, it was nothing. It actually was nothing. It literally would have been, hey babe, you know, hey, can you please ask what's this, can you please get Vince Staples on, what is he on, Spotify, that he works for Spotify or something? Can you please ask what's his face to do X, Y, and Z for Issa's event? Her
Right.
boyfriend would have been like, okay, sure, babe, yeah. No word. I got your girl. That's your friend. Sure, I got her.
And the fact that he
That's
was
it.
mad supportive, like actually trying to set it up so they could talk, you know, and fix things, and she still was like just really.
In her mind, in Molly's mind, and in Molly's brain works in a way, there's a lot of fear in there, and the fear is valid because of her experience. Men leave Molly. That's just accurate. Molly can't keep a dude for more than 2 months. She cannot. She runs them all off. She makes it so as if they're married. Well, come on. Like you had season one, where with Issa basically making that song "Broken Pussy," and it was literally about her, you know, like okay, you've got her getting Jidenna of all people, right? Her fellow Nigerian, all right, and getting him to go to this party as her boyfriend or whatnot. She was all happy. She's like, "Yes, this is my man. This is my this, that, and the other," and then giving him rules about like him keeping his stuff at her house, like, oh yeah, you can keep your stuff here. Da, da, da. He's like, girl, we ain't married. What is wrong with you? She runs guys off by basically as soon as they come in, it's like she marries them. She
Or not
puts
even
this
just
gate.
that, like the fact that if it's one little thing that they do or she finds off-putting, she leaves. And like it was a point where Issa and I forget the other friend, they were saying, like, you know, you pick the smallest thing to kind of run away from, and you know, they do that one thing and you're like, I can't talk to them anymore, I can't, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you didn't even give a chance, you didn't even bring it up in conversation, like, hey, I don't like, you know, A, B, and C, or whatever. And it kind of, you know, and this is the first time, and I get why she's afraid, right? Because this is the first time she's done that with this boyfriend. She's actually been honest and said things that she didn't like and did like and all this other stuff. At the same time, though, it's very difficult for her to move or give any. There's no compromise a lot of the times. It's just kind of like, you know what? You're not letting me in, you know, and obviously he has some emotional dealings with his family that he doesn't want to share right away because you don't know how freaking serious you are or not. So he's like, you know what? I'm going to keep this to myself. And I can understand why that would be frustrating because she's sharing everything. But at the same time, if he's telling you something, it's like you can take it or not. But to b make it a big thing, make it a big showing, and be like, you know, I just feel blah, 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 and then upset when he wants to leave now. It's like, there's like, usually when they have these confrontations, it's like I can kind of see it from both point of views, and I can kind of. You both are being immature, or you're both not willing to listen. Like, no. And in this season, Molly has been the most stubborn human on the show. Like, for real.
She has. And Molly's role, I think Molly's purpose in this season was to really show Molly's extreme. Because if the show is like, you know, really about Issa and whatnot, but if Issa was really being low key about a lot of things, Molly's behaviors were very extreme. You had the season where it was like where you saw Molly and Issa's relationship really be really tight because all they had was each other. You know, they were really being supportive of each other. Lawrence wasn't in the picture anymore, you know, and it was like just Molly and Issa supporting each other and this and the other. And then here you have this thing where when Issa finally grows up, she does, you know, when Issa finally matures and gets her life in order. And it wasn't just, oh, you know, she was immature. It was the fact that she also needed a little bit of help. She needed help. And she was also going through some emotional stuff. You know, here I was with my boyfriend in this apartment for 5 years, and then he ups and leaves. He gets a job, ups and leaves me. I have no way to pay this apartment. My car is gone. I have to drive Lyft just to get a car. I have to live with my brother. I have to live with Daniel for crying out loud and listen to Daniel bang chicks in the other room. Like, she had to go through a lot even to get to where she is. And then she finally gets to a certain place after basically getting cheap rent just to be property manager, deal with all the crazies, all the crazies. She has gone through a lot just to get to where she is. And then finally, she gets the wherewithal to be like, you know what? Hey, I need help. This is what I want to do. I want to do this. This is what I want to do. And maybe it can bring me some money. And somebody assisted her, you know, somebody helped her tell her, girl, you've got this, which she didn't have before. She didn't have that before. There was nobody. There was the people who were closest in her situation, which was Lawrence. He wasn't going to be the one emotionally supporting her to have this great, you know, curative job. And Molly was more of a band-aid. Molly was more of, hey, Molly, I need clothes. Hey, Molly, I need money. Hey, Molly, I need wine. Hey, Molly, I need a cry. There, she had those two relationships on the poles to keep her grounded, like to keep her as a functioning human being. This was a person who could actually help her develop as a human. So what she could feel a sense of independence and to feel a sense of purpose in life and to feel whole as a human, right? So Issa was already on her own track to being a better human, a better Issa. She was growing. I'm not saying she don't need Molly because Molly was still her friend no matter what, still her ride or die. But there is a thing about Molly is that when Issa didn't need Molly the same way that she needed her the previous seasons. And so Molly replaced Issa with Andrew. And the problem with Andrew and her relationship, not just the fact that, you know, Molly was being cray cray, was that Molly was talking to Andrew as if he were Issa. She was talking to him. She was saying stuff to him like he was one of her girlfriends. And guys don't put up with, I don't want to like blanket guys, but some of the stuff that she would say to him, like when she was talking bad about other girls, like saying crap about other women and stuff, you don't tell your guy, you don't tell your boyfriend that. Because he's looking at you like, that's your friend. Why do you talk about your friends like that? And that's making him question your character. And you guys have only been together for 3 months. Why would you jeopardize? Like, you know what I mean? Molly was never thinking straight. Molly was always thinking that everything that I say is truth. It's word. I'm a lawyer. This is my lawyer brain. Blah, blah, blah. And I understand why her character had to go this way to this season. It was almost like a catalyst for the story to go somewhere, to go in a different direction. And I get it. And a lot of the things I even understand where, like, I understand the way Molly's character is written and why Molly has to operate in a certain way. And I get it, that lawyer brand. I just get it. But it doesn't mean that she's not a bitch. She is. All right, like she is, and her method of thinking is it's not okay. Like, and even when she finally decided to go back to therapy this season, I think what bothered me is when she went back to therapy, because she ended up going back to therapy after she acted like a crazy black woman. And I was like, damn, we couldn't get her into therapy just when she was having some feelings. Why does she have to be crazy? Like, why does she have to have an outburst?
Because it makes sense. If you think about the fact that, like you were saying, like everything in her mind is, I know better. Because even when, and because you see she's trying. There's the time where she was talking with her, the guy she has conflict with at her job, the lawyer guy. Mm-hmm. The Jackson, and was like, you know, trying to make amends, and it wasn't really working. Granted, he's a jerk, so it doesn't matter. But like, you see her trying in certain areas, but there's still that superiority complex, or like, not superiority, but like holier than thou, I think. Where, like, for instance, with her dad, and what happened with her dad, I like that was shocking.
Yeah,
totally shocking.
It bothered me.
It was definitely shocking, but if you look at the fact that your mother has forgiven him, the sons have forgiven him, it's been years that it's happened, he has made, or I can't speak on whether or not he's made up for it, but the way the show writes it, he's actually worked hard to improve, and now their marriage is stronger than it's ever been, et cetera, et cetera, and so now you get, you know, Molly's here, and she's just now finding out about this stuff, and I think it's been a year already, because that was like a holiday. And then like now this is a new holiday. She is, she can't sit beside him. She can't play games around him. She can't do, she doesn't want to talk to him like talking about. And everyone is kind of like tiptoeing around. Like, you know, Molly will come around. Molly will call him, come around. And it gets to the point where her brother's like, look, you need to chill. Like,
yeah,
we get it. You're upset, but you're not even the one that he hurt like talking about. Comparatively, like, mom should be the one that doesn't want him in the house and doesn't want to speak to him, but she has forgiven him and has made it so that they can have a relationship, you know, in the sense where like she doesn't want you to disrespect him in front of her. Like that's how important, or how strong, excuse me, the relationship has gotten since then. So for you to do all this extra stuff now, it's like you're not only being disrespectful to him, you're being disrespectful to mom. And it took all of that for her to be like, all right, I'll just sit beside him and play. To, you know what I mean? It's like, because she's like, I'm right, you're wrong. There's no compromise. And that's the problem. And I think that's why there had to be a big explosion before she actually went back to therapy, because it needs something, usually in the series, something has to rock her world before she questions herself.
Yep.
And then she starts getting help. Like, then she starts, like, well, okay, maybe I am a little crazy here and there. But for the most part, it's like, nope, Molly's right. That's just what it is.
Yep.
And, you know, we're going to move on from there. But yeah, I don't want this to be the Molly Bash episode, but because there are some unique qualities that she does have. One of the things I liked about her in the original, or not the original, but the first season, was that she was very honest about what Issa Rae did. I didn't think, or Issa Rae's character, not Issa Rae. I didn't think this would happen, but when she ended up, you know, she cheated on Lawrence, and her friend Molly was like, did you tell him? And she's like, no. And then she was like, well, why, you know, how did this kind of happen? And then Issa talks about, you know, the other guy, and then she talks about how Lawrence has been, you know, he's been kind of depressed because he can't find work and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, she felt neglected. And Molly's like, well, did you tell him? And she's like, well, I mean, and she's like, seriously, did you tell him? And she's like, no. And she's like, well, that's, oh, I get you being upset, but you need to freaking tell him. Like, that's, you can't expect someone to just automatically know how you feel about these things, which is extremely hypocritical coming from her now. But at that time, I was like, this is extremely positive because she could just be like, I'm on your side, screw him, blah, blah, blah. Which is, like a typical, because she's her friend. But she was like, no, I think you did wrong. And it was the point where they stopped talking for a brief moment until they went and got food. But I was like, that's actually really solid. Like, you need a friend who's going to tell you about yourself. And I think that when the roles finally changed, granted, I just said I'm not bashing her, but still, when the roles finally changed, I don't think she could handle Issa telling her the truth.
And you know what? And the only thing that I appreciate about that is that that is Molly's character, because that's true. There are so many friendships out here like that. You have friends that are givers. There are people. There are givers, there are empaths, there are takers, there are, negative Nancys. There, like, everybody has a kind of a personality spectrum. I give people the benefit of the doubt and just say that they have a spectrum. I don't want to say you're one thing all the time. But that's who she is. That is really who Molly is, because Molly knows how, like, she really could be that friend who gives you that advice. When they had Malibu, that's why I loved their relationship then. That whole thing was like Malibu, Malibu, and then they would tell each other the truth. Like, I loved
Yeah,
that
it's
they
like a
had their
safe
code
word.
word. That was their safe. They could say whatever they needed to say, and they wouldn't hold it against each other. That's a relationship. That is a healthy functioning. That is a great relationship. And that's how you know these girls have been friends for a minute, and they know where they can help each other. Like, they know what they need. Like, they know what each other has to give. They always knew that with each other. Because it wasn't like, oh, I'm expecting this person to do this, like, and she doesn't meet those needs. Molly always knew. Was Issa going to be able to ask Tiffany for clothes if she needed new clothes for work? No, that
Nope.
was never going to be that thing. Tiffany was never, ever, ever going to go into her closet of Christian Dior and Givenchy and let Issa take any of those things to her crummy job. Like, but Molly was going to be that person. And who would literally let Molly go through relationship after relationship being messy as hell, but then not read her for filth, but still be loving and supportive? She might read her, but then she would still have her back. That was Issa for Molly. You know what I mean? They had a
Right.
friendship that worked and functioned. And but once the dynamic started to change, that's when, Molly couldn't be what Issa, Molly couldn't be to Issa what Issa was to Molly. It's not in her nature, and it's not, I don't want to say that, oh, it's just not in her nature. There are events or things that have happened in Molly's life, plus her personality, that don't allow her to be that way. And that is one of the reasons why therapy should help her. Why? Because, if the therapist is saying, if these things trigger you, what's really going on? Let's talk about it. Which is why, the season ends with them at the restaurant, and then Mac, you see them talking. You don't know if Molly and Andrew have actually broken up. When they probably have, because Andrew just seems like he has what may way much more self-respect for, than to remain in that relationship. And also ask the question, Molly, do you really want to be in this relationship? Or because the other end of that question of do you really want to be in that relationship was, or are you doing this to prove something to somebody?
Makes sense, cause Issa's telling you, like, you keep running people away, you keep messing things up, and so you're fighting to keep this relationship when it might not be working. In Molly's defense, though, I do think the relationship is working. The fact that they were willing to put up with each other's mess, means that there's something there, and the fact that he's a decent person and is trying to help her, refriend her friend. It says a lot about his character and a lot about who he is as a person. He even went to bat, against his brother for her.
Yeah,
And
that which is huge.
she needs to, and she makes it a small thing, like, you know, like a minute thing to them. And I get why he's upset, but I think that I also think that Molly recognizes deep down that because he's a good guy, that this is something I want to try to work towards. Like, I want to kind of fix this. So I don't necessarily think, and it's a solid question that she has an answer for herself, but I don't necessarily think that she's only doing it to prove Issa wrong. I think that she finally, like, you know what? This relationship has the most, the best chance of actually working 100%, based on so many factors. You know what I mean? But yeah, aside from Molly and Issa, who definitely their roles are acted very well, and that's why they're up for Emmys. Aside from them, a lot of the characters are really cool. Even the bad friends of
The bad friends
Lawrence.
make it. They make it. Like,
Yes, like
the bad
Chad.
friends are the reasons why the main roles are even better than they would have been.
Like Derek and Chad. Gosh, like
Oh,
Chad is one person who is he's very he's horrible, right? But then at the
God.
same time, he says something that's so smart that I'm like, wow, like you fell into some truth all of a sudden. Like, how does this even happen? But there's moments where he's talking to Lawrence and he's saying something that's so like yes, this is a perfect thing to say to Lawrence because he's very much people are babying him to an extent. And Chad is not having it. Chad is like, you know, I'm just gonna say whatever. And he does it in a vile and misogynistic way, but like underneath that is like a very like a valid thing. Like, for instance, when he got he tried to play it off, right? He was like, he had got he I can't believe that my I think it was his fiance at the time. My fiance canceled the wedding and all this other stuff. And then Lawrence is like, well, you did sleep with the stripper at the bachelor party. And he kind of like shrugged it off. But then they got back together. And Lawrence is like, how? And he's like, what do you mean, how? I went, I begged, I pleaded, I bought things, I took all the numbers out of my phone. And he basically runs down a list of things that Lawrence didn't think about doing with Issa. And it's like, he's saying something super truthful right now in a way that makes him look good, but it's still very poignant. And it's like ding 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 ding. Like, there's so many moments where he does that. And I'm like, you're a freaking chameleon. Like, how do you? And it's always funny. It's always funny. But
It is
he's totally not a good role model. But
totally horrid.
whenever he says like a truthful thing, like, no, you're just a horrible person. And the people like look at him like, how did that just come from you? And he's like, yeah, it's I speak the truth sometimes. Like,
And that's the thing about Chad. That's how you know he's such a bad guy, because he knows better. That's the thing.
right.
This is somebody who knows better but continues to do things the way he does. Why? A, because he likes it, and B, he can get away with it. He represents 98% of men. Kenny, you are not one of those 98%.
Hey, I'm not. Look, I know that. I was talking to someone online and they mentioned like why men get upset when people say men, kind of like when like if I say like women do this and then like certain women get upset. And I was like, I was told to think of it as the lifeguard situation, like in a sense that if you're a kid and you're in the pool and you're playing, and then two kids fly by you, like running, on the sidewalk or whatever around the pool. Like they're running by, and the lifeguard jumps up and he's like, kids, no running. Like, you kids, stop running or whatever. Do you A, go, he's not talking to me because obviously I'm not running? Or do you go, B, wait, I'm a kid. He must be talking about me. If it's B, there's something wrong with you. If it's A, then you understand context. So it could very well be 98%. I know it's not me and my friends, so I am cool. And it's and granted, it's also this idea of like an acceptable foolishness. And for instance, when Chad is talking about or Lawrence and Tad are driving around in his new car, and he's like, the market is down. I haven't sold a house in however long, blah, 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 blah. And his wife knows about it because Lawrence is like, does your wife know? He's like, yeah, I told her, like, whatever. And he's like, well, why'd you buy this car? And he's like, I need to keep up appearances. Like, this is how I make my money by looking like I make money. And that tells you that he knows. He knows. And so this is the idea of, like, you're around guys and you are expected to be a certain way. And because you're expected to be that way, you know it's wrong, but you do that anyways. And he constantly pokes holes in that bubble because he will say something and then revert back and be like, you know, whatever. And they, the other guys are looking at him like, that was partly genius, but then you just went back to horrible. Like, why are you like this?
Why are you like this? And like, then he looks like, because I can be.
Yeah, like, he's like, and they just kind of like, he says something funny and waves it off. The other guy, though, that's married to Tiffany, I believe her name is.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for him.
Derek, he is such a, he's funny too, but in a different way. But yeah, I did feel sorry for him with, and like, I liked how real they made the situation. I didn't like how it didn't hold enough weight for the show. Because her situation, his wife's situation with, you know, she just had a baby and she's depressed. And the fact that she, she's postmortem, you know, postmortem depression. I can talk. I can talk. She has issues right now. You know, so she leaves and she's missing for however long and he's freaking out. And you kind of see more of his character this season because of how he is with his daughter, how he's, even when he talks about poo, even is crazy. And then him being afraid for his wife. And then when he finds his wife, being very much like compassionate, empathetic. He's not like, yeah, I can't believe you out here. You had me, you know, afraid or whatever. Like he was in his right to do so, but he wasn't like, he's just more concerned about her. And that it shows a little bit more about his character than before. And it's a serious thing, but I really wish it wasn't undercut with everything else that's going on. It didn't need to be a climactic, you know, push towards the end of the season. We need something for you to do. It didn't feel like, and granted, they've always talked about the baby, like the baby was a big thing, like from when she got pregnant to the actual baby shower and all the conflict that caused. So it's not like the baby was a secondary plot in and of itself, but in that moment it was treated that way because it was such a big deal. Like, I don't care about Molly and Issa right now. Like, I want to know what's happening with her, if she's getting help. And it was kind of like a powerful moment that was like an afterthought, which works in the sense of like the baby shower, because the baby shower is there as a to move the story along, but it's also as a catalyst for Condola and Lawrence's relationship, and to understand the dynamics of the women, their friendship, and who does what, who's allowed to do what, that sort of thing. So that makes sense. But this particular point, it should have shifted. Like, we needed a shift to these people because they're going through something that's way more important than what you guys are going through. And could be a real detriment. Like, she could have hurt herself.
Yeah, she could have done what some other mothers have done and actually committed suicide or, like, hurt herself to, like, she could have been hospitalized for a long period of time. And that's not okay. And I didn't want that, like, actually for her care. I didn't want it to ever be that that detrimental, because I feel like it actually would shift the entire story. Like, if that, let's just say, for example, if it actually ended up being really, really big, like it was a hospitalization type thing, I think it would actually end up shifting the emotion of the show. Like, there would actually have to be a lot more serious and a lot more sad types of things to move in a different direction, because she is such a major character. But which is, that's fine. I'm not wishing for that. But you were right, and a lot of people felt that way. We were over Issa and Molly. All right. We were over Issa and Molly from like episode two. Okay.
Right.
I had been over their relationship because I have my own feelings about this season. If I could rank the seasons, I don't even know how I'd rank the other ones. But honestly, season four would be my lowest ranked. I don't love this season like I love the other seasons. And the reason why is because I felt like in the first six episodes, everything that happened in the first six episodes
would have typically happened in 2 to 3 episodes of any other season. It was like long and drawn out, nothing. The content was kind of like, I honestly felt like every episode was a music video. Like it was like a Michael Jackson movie, you know, like his short film. You know, Michael Jackson always called his music videos short films. I feel like right. That's what I was watching every week. It was like a short film and very beautifully shot, very amazing outfit, like clothing was really nice. The music, every episode had amazing music. Everything like was just real, like vibe-ish, chill. Like I loved that, but there was no, I don't want to say there was no story, but there was no traction. There was, things weren't happening. It wasn't even just like, oh, we're building to X, Y, and Z. No, there was no buildup at all. It was something that we already knew was going to happen. An event was going to happen. They were going to blow up at each other, whatever, right? That was not buildup to me. That was just something that we all knew. There was no tension for me. It was just like, oh, whatever. Molly's being a fucking bitch and she'll figure that they're like, I wasn't being built up. I did not give a flying rat's ass about what was going on with Molly and Issa. I literally cared about Andrew's fine ass. I literally cared about Nate's fine ass. I literally cared about Lawrence's fine ass.
So you're looking at the wrong stuff.
I cared about Tiffany's postpartum. It was really triggering for me. It really, really was. And every time I would see her, I was like, I would feel a certain type of way inside because I was like, yo, she's not okay. And I know what this leads to. Like, she's not okay. She's not okay. And I know Amanda Seals actually had a lot of like her own issues. So this is like good for her to even, you know, put on the show, like something that's kind of like something that's happened for her. But it was so plain as day that she was suffering from postpartum. It was very obvious. And I didn't feel like what was going on with Molly and Issa was so dramatic or so big that they couldn't even see what was going on with right. Tiffany. Did it? And that's why I would say for me this season, the writing was just off. It just was off because if you compare the writing from seasons 1 through 3, every comment, every conversation was like so fine-tuned that it all intricately like wove together. It was so good. I just felt like there was so much stuff that was like said in this season that was like just throwaways. The jokes though, the jokes hit for me. Like the broom closet when she was like, I named all the mops. I was crying. Okay. She's like, I named all the mops. He couldn't even respond to her. Kendrick Sampson was laughing as Kendrick, not even as Nate. He was laughing because he was not prepared for her to say, I named all the mobs. Like, the whole, like, thing, you going to San Francisco, you a trolley nigga? Like, I was just like, I cannot do them. The jokes hit. When the jokes were there, I was with the jokes. But as for the rest of the writing, I'm like, you literally had a woman, a Black woman, have go through postpartum, and in this country, especially in this time period in the last couple of years, we have been trying to put attention to Black women in healthcare, like Black women not getting the care that they need. It's one thing if we were going to highlight the fact that she wasn't getting the care she needed from the medical community, but like from her own people around her to not even really push that something bad was happening to her affected me, because I feel like when we talk about Black women not getting the healthcare that they need, I don't necessarily feel like it's that, like, the people around, like, I feel like the people around might be, say, okay, you know, be strong, like, recognize that you're going through something, because they have something going through them, too. Oh, yeah, I got diabetes, too. I got this, too. I got, you know, like, that kind of stuff. And it's like, oh, you know, you need to go to the doctor. But it's typically the doctor shutting you down.
Well, I don't
In
know.
This situation, I feel like her friends failed her.
Well, they did. They did. And not because that's the thing. And this is, I think that if done purposefully, this would be genius, because that typically happens when someone is experiencing that type of thing. Other people don't know unless mm-hmm. you've experienced it yourself. And that's why they have, because a lot of times the mother doesn't know. Like, you know, after having like our first child, Joanne had to go and like sign a paper saying that, you know, like, are you experiencing these emotions or whatever, et cetera, et cetera, and had to sign off to be like, I'm okay. Mm-hmm. Because they're looking for that, but that's not something that people necessarily recognize, especially in a new mother because she could just be tired. She could just be this. She could just be that. No one, and if you've never had kids, you never had experience any of that stuff, you're not going to know. And then on top of that, with Black people are notorious for not wanting to go to the doctor. One, because of how we've been treated and the fact that we don't trust certain people. And that dates back years. I don't have to go into that. And then the other reason is because the idea that we're supposed to be strong. We're supposed to be able to take care of ourselves. Yeah. We're supposed to be, because we have to face all sorts of things from racism to whatever, that we have to be strong. And that strength a lot of times gets us killed. And so them not necessarily recognizing it wasn't an issue necessarily, if that's the point. My problem with it was that once we found out, once we learned about what happened, stuff just shut down, and it didn't. Yeah. It moved on to other places, and that didn't work for me. Like,
no, not at all.
It and granted, this was towards the end of the show, so, you know, I mean, end of the season, but it didn't, it should have been something where if they were going to have a reconcile, right now should be the time. And then we move back to, because it, like, I'm not, they kind of did it where they went to help and they kind of push aside, like, you know, when the husband's talking and he's like, you know, I should have known, I should have picked up on it, I should have said something, I should have blah. And like Issa and Molly are like, duh, like, we should have thought of these things for ourselves. This is a self moment. We slide past that and go into the rest of the story, and it's like, this is a learning moment. This is an opportunity to understand something bigger that's happening, not just with the wife, but with everybody in this show, and it just blows by. And it's like, what? Like, it shouldn't be ending on them in a restaurant. I mean, granted, they're the main characters, but them sitting down talking, it should have been, the focus should have been, how are people doing? Like, in a sense where, like, we're closing with this person, with this person, with this person, to kind of see where they are after something traumatic happens. But it doesn't do that, because it's not, in reality, it's not written in a way for us to care that much about Tiffany. It's written in a way for us to root for Molly and Issa. And I think that does, it doesn't do the story justice there. Because of it.
It's damaging.
We lose the focus that on something that's really, really solid. And, you know, going backwards, you know, throughout the rest of the season, the writing is solid, but it's stretched. I feel like they had enough material, and this is not, I don't write shows. I can't really speak on whether, what people's input and whatnot that goes into making a show. What I can say is what it looks like or feels like from a consumer standpoint. And from a consumer standpoint, it looks like we had a very little bit of material that we stretched for an entire season.
Yep.
And
six wasted episodes.
Yeah, and it was like, you could have, because a lot of the story beats needed to happen to get to where we were, but I think they could have happened much, much faster. We could have went over a lot of stuff, because they touched on a lot of things, from, you know, adultery to racism to interracial dating to friendship to postpartum to all this other stuff. And we just kind of like, we slowly dabble in certain things, and then we go back to Molly and Issa. Then we slowly dip our toe over here. Then we go back to Molly and Issa. It's like, you're making me not like this part of the story, because we're skipping all this other cool stuff. And what was going on with the TV show or with the missing person?
Like, missing Toyota. If Toyota hadn't been on the show, if there was no missing Toyota, I wouldn't have even been able to finish the season. That is what kept me going on this season.
It was missing that Toyota. Was nuts. I shot that was dope that they had all the Black actors, you know, like they had all the cameos. No. That was
and
dope.
What's his face from Scandal? I was like, yes.
Yeah, it was interesting. I think they are, it's written well enough to be up for an Emmy.
Yeah.
It's acted well enough. The dialogue is there. The comedy is there. Everything is there. I just think that some tightening here and there, reflection on what happened in the previous seasons, because it felt like it just, we needed conflict for conflict. The Issa Molly story was always going to end this way. or at least not necessarily end, but always go this direction. But I think that the surrounding stories could have been better if we would have went, because a lot of it honestly was mentally was the, it was mental health was the theme for this particular season.
Yeah.
From Nate's disappearance to Molly going to therapy to Tiffany's issues with being a mom, all of these things is pushing back to mental health. And I don't think it's done subtly enough to be among those things where it's like an aha moment, like, ah, I see what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And it's not blunt enough to be to give these stories justice. I think it's somewhere in the middle, and it feels a little wishy-washy, and I feel a way about that.
Yeah, I do. I feel a way because I couldn't understand if they were trying to make it like real life, like how we just sweep it under the rug or not. Because, like, for example, it was season three when Nate told her what happened, you know, when Nate was like, when he disappeared. And he told her what happened when he came back. He's like, sometimes I go into this really dark place and I can't be around people and I didn't want you to suffer. And whatever he said, he's like, I didn't want you to go through that. When he said that, I already knew he was bipolar. Like, so for some reason, I felt like I was in deja vu when he was telling her that he was bipolar in this season. I was like, oh, for some reason, I thought he had told her already. But that's just me from I guess, you know, I recognized it already from when he disappeared and when he came back. Because the simple fact that he actually came back and said, hey, I was going through something emotionally, if he was just being a fuckboy and was disappearing, then he would never have come back and said nothing. Or he would have been like, oh yeah, my kid got sick. He would have made up something stupid, but he literally said he had to go away because he has emotional problems. And when it gets bad, he has to stay away from people because he doesn't want you to drag you into his stuff. I honestly thought that she knew he was bipolar, but I was wrong. So when he actually said it in this season, and I was like, wasn't this a... And I also felt a little like Molly was super in the dark. And I was like, how much time has passed? Because when Molly made the comment to Andrew about Nate's disappearing ass, and then again, that's your boyfriend's roommate.
Yeah.
So I don't know why you're talking smack about him.
And they're friends.
Yeah, I'm like, you have no respect right now for anybody except yourself. And, you know, which is why you get into these situations, because you literally don't respect other people in their situations. And so, she said what she said. And then he was like, yo, he was going through some serious shit. And I personally felt like there was a miscommunication I felt like some of this was already explained in season three. And maybe I was just wrong. Maybe it was just in my own head. Maybe I made it up, because you know I'd be making up stories.
it wasn't fleshed out. I think it was something that was always going to lead to that. I think in that sense it made sense. Like, those, it seemed purposeful. Like, this is something that we're going to hint at, and we're going to deal with it more in the coming season. The reason why it feels like deja vu is because they're handling it the same way they handled it when it was hinted at. This isn't the hint. This isn't the you know, we're just going to briefly share a bit of information and see if you pick up on it time. He is saying that I am dealing with something. Deal with it. Just deal with it. Don't make it be like a hinting thing, because now it feels like you're not giving any, you're not giving any weight to this particular plot line.
Yeah. And the audience ends up confused. So, like, if the audience ends up confused, then you always have to ask the question if the creator actually delivered on what they were supposed to deliver. That's where I feel like here's the disconnect. This is where you guys as creators are right. You didn't do your job, because I shouldn't be confused here. Like, I think the emotion should not be confusion. It should literally be like, oh yeah, this makes sense. Not what?
Right, definitely.
Anyway. You know what I want? You know what I want to feel again? I want to feel the same feeling I felt when Lawrence came back. Was that season three or season two? Remember when, like, Lawrence wasn't in the show at all? He was just gone?
I think it was...
And then... was season two? When was it?
I think it was season two.
Yeah, and he was just gone, and then like he shows up like halfway through the season, and I love that because it was even on Instagram. Like it was like, where's Lawrence? And then he like pops up, and then Issa does the wind down about it. They were talking about, they're like, yeah, so Lawrence was supposed to be fired. They said something like he wasn't employed. He wasn't employed.
Well, they made the sense. They made the statement like, you know, like Lawrence was supposed to be out of the show because that his and Issa's relationship was over and Issa was going to be moving on. And so they're like, you know, he's not supposed to come back. If anything, it would be a cameo. And then he's back and we're like, oh, okay.
And he was back in full effect. They were like, and it was like last 6 months of Lawrence's life. And it showed all this stuff, you know, for him and doing all the bad things he was doing. And that just, it. I want to feel like that again, though. Not because I love Jay Ellis. I want to feel like that again because it was like a treat. It was like a candy bar and a piece of cake.
Wow.
It was just, I was so happy. It was like, Lawrence. Even remember the episode where he was gone and he shows up at the end, you know, when like Molly and Andrew are coming back from their vacation then they run into each other at the airport. Where you come from? San Francisco? You a Charlie nigga? Like the whole, the, anyway, he made a joke about the Full House. That's right. And that's not the point. But I was so happy. I was like, Lawrence! I was like, where was Lawrence in the episode? Well, he directed that episode, so clearly he wasn't on it. But I just want to feel like that again. So Issa, can you please make me feel like that again? Larry Wilmore, can you please let me feel like that again? Like, I just need y'all to make me feel like that again for season 5. And I want to feel like that every episode.
You just want people to pop up randomly?
No, I just want to be happy.
Well, that's a tall order, because however many fans they have, I just want, you know, seemingly clear direction. Anything that's brought up is never done haphazardly. Like, there's a direction. There's a reason why people wear a certain color. The lighting is a certain way. There's things that you're trying to convey. And I think that it needs to be conveyed. Not to say that you can't change or evolve, but it needs to be conveyed in the way that it was done before. And it was very snappy. Things moved, and we got to the heart of something and dealt with it. And I think that it took forever for us to deal with Molly and Issa's issue while there's bigger things happening in the world. And yeah, it kind of, you know, but it still was a good season. A low point for, you know, Insecure is like a high point for certain shows, for other shows. Yeah. So I'm not too upset. Hopefully season 5 will be better. We're going to see some, there's still going to be messy. It's going to be messy. We've started out, the last episode was, you know, the precursor, it's a mess. So I expect that. That said, I'm looking forward. I'm looking forward to it. Hopefully they win their Emmys, their nominations.
I hope so.
You know, at least as many as possible. You know, if they don't pull or, you know, snatch all 8, you know, there's plenty of really good shows. I know The Watchmen is up for, has been nominated as well. And awesome show. Regina King is awesome. Just gonna throw that out there, and you should go check that out too. It's also on HBO. Mm-hmm. HBO is racking up right now. I forgot who else, but yeah, a lot of. Oh, and while we're here, before we, you know, close everything, I have an issue with John Leguizamo.
What did he do?
So he made a statement about, because there was an article saying that, I don't know who wrote the article, I don't really care. There was a article saying that the Emmys, you know, Black people are being represented via the Emmys, but Latinx people aren't. And he co-signed that, and he was saying, like, how come we get left behind? Why aren't we getting a piece of the pie? So on and so forth, and blah, blah, blah. And it was asinine for two reasons. The first reason, which is the most obvious reason is that you don't have to tear down someone to bring yourself up. You can make a statement without tearing down Black people who are just now getting these things. It's not like we've always been in the spotlight. We've always been the people to win everything, to be nominated for everything. That's not a thing. So for you to kind of piggyback on that, this foolishness, and then speak in the way that you're speaking, bringing down Black people, and in this case, Black women, because a lot of women are up for awards, you look foolish. Yeah. So that's that. The second reason it's asinine is because he was part of a show. I want to say he was a part of a show where the director or the writer was a Black woman who gave a lot of prominent roles to Latinx people.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them, who's Afro-Latinx, I believe that's the correct term, was up for an award for. So you were a part of something that was bigging up your people. And the person who was championing that behind the scenes was a Black woman. And now you're throwing Black women under the bus because you're not getting the amount of looks that you feel that you need. That doesn't make any sense. And, you know, we have an example. We can flip over to, like, for instance, Jada Pinkett Smith, when she was talking about boycotting and whatnot, and she was talking about how Black people aren't being nominated. She wasn't saying, you know, Asian people being nominated more than we are, or, you know, Latinx people being nominated. She was like, Black people aren't being nominated. We're doing solid work. It's not fair. I'm not going anymore. You could have said that. You could have been like, you know what? We've done awesome work in this regard. We should be seen, we should be heard, et cetera, et cetera. You did not have to bring anyone down. And that goes for everybody. You don't have to trash someone else to make yourself feel better. No need for that. And I'm not sure if he's done an apology, he hasn't done it during this recording. So he is still trash.
Right.
But he needs to rethink his words and really, really, really. He also mentioned another article where he's talking about how there was a article written about how when people say people of color, if you mean Black, just say Black. And it's essentially saying that there are unique troubles that Black people have. And doing this super, you know, umbrella labeling doesn't help us for various reasons. And it's actually a really well-written article. It's not, at the same time, it's not trashing anybody. He, retweets that and says he like as if he's redoing the title. It's like Black and brown people should be mentioned when saying people of color, blah blah blah, and going and basically saying like you're missing us, and but at the same time undercutting Black people. And it's like, why are you doing when and for a long time we've been your allies, so why does this you know? And it reminds me of, who was it, I forgot who it was, but it was the round table. A bunch of women got together. I think it was 2 years ago. And someone made mention of, like, women, you know, like, women's struggles. And the Black actress was like, there's a difference. And the white, funny enough, the white women understood that there's a difference. Like, how white women are treated versus how Black women are treated. You still have the fact that you're women. Yeah. So you're treated poorly there. But then also because you're Black, there's racial things as well. And then someone, I can't remember the person's name. It's on the tip of my tongue. But she was like, she's Latinx. And she was like, basically like, almost like you're being a victim. And we can't be victims. And the Black woman is trying to explain how there's some things that are unique, even within minorities who are dealing with similar issues. There's certain things that you're missing, and the fact that you're trying to make it so that it seems like I'm complaining or I'm being a victim or whatever the case, like you're basically erasing who I am to put us all in the same, you know, bracket of womanhood, and it that doesn't work. And she just didn't understand, like, what you're saying, how you're using your platform is actually detrimental, because the people who are looking at this are the people who aren't your ally or my ally. They're the people who want to say something negative, want to be like, why are you people being victims? And so they're going to point to you. They're going to be like, you guys are racist to other people, or you guys are, you don't even look at your allies the same way, or you guys can't even agree on, you know, whatever the issues are. So like, it's really foolish. I wish people would just stop, take time to think, You know, he's not exactly Terry Crews, but he's real, real freaking close.
And... Oh God, Terry Crews! And I don't even mean to like add more topics, but did you see what he posted?
No.
He posted something on Twitter, and then I forgot who wrote him back and said that spells coon, Terry. Like, your boy Terry Crews needs to go somewhere else. I said the other day, I was like, you know what? Dudes from Jupiter are looking real good right about now.
Wait, what did he tweet? Wow, conquer our own negativity. Wow. Yep.
I don't. And I'm really disappointed in John Leguizamo. Just like hearing that, really.
Wow.
What's wrong with you, dude?
What
is wrong with you right now? I don't know. I mean, that bothers me, man. I like that dude so much. He's such a good artist. Like his acting ability is out of this world. And I don't know. This isn't the way he really feels. I don't see why he had to tear Black women down and say what he said. And like, I do get really angry when I hear stuff like that. Because I'm like, if you're talking about the racist system that is keeping Latina women down, if that is that's what we're focusing on. We're focusing on that system. That's the system we're trying to dismantle.
Yes.
But don't sit there and be like, Black women are getting all the attention. What about our Latina sisters? The fuck?
He didn't even say sisters, bro. Because he didn't even say sisters. He was just like, us. Like, he didn't. That's so bad. It's so bad. Like, I didn't even mean to add 25 extra minutes. But it's just, I just felt the way. Because we have we have something positive. Something positive. We're getting nominated. We're getting, you know, we're represented. We're actually achieving. I don't want to say achieving because we've always been great, but we're actually getting recognized for our achievements. And then you pull this. You didn't say anything before. Like, what? Yeah. Like, on that note.
Yeah, he gets a donkey of the day.
Yeah.
He gets. I almost had it. I thought I had it, but it didn't pop up. But there's a lot of Uncle Ruckus tweets that have Terry Crews in them.
Oh my gosh.
We'll have to drop it when I find it. I'm going to find it because it says, because Terry wrote something like it said it starts with the C. The first word starts with the C, second word starts with the creating our own. What do you say? Creating our own
negativity. Yep.
Yes. And then the person's like, that spells coon Terry.
It's bonkers. It's bonkers. So
he's terrible.
We're gonna close tonight's show. Before we go too long. Man. Yeah. Thanks for joining us. Hopefully you enjoyed the show. And if you stay with us, you know, because we did a ton of spoiling, hopefully, you know, you actually watched the show and you understood where we were coming from. Obviously, in that sense, you know, it might sound like we're bashing characters or whatever, but they're presented as, you know, in trashy ways or in disrespectful ways or whatever the case may be, because that's acting. Like I said, the actresses have done an amazing job on the show. And this is why we feel the way we feel. Like, we wouldn't care if they were acting really poorly or the stories weren't well written to begin with. We wouldn't care about how the characters are depicted outside of it was like, you know, racial stereotypes. So that's that sort of thing. So we want, you know, Issa to win. We want Insecure to win, you know, as many Emmys as they can. And yeah, so we can continue. We want to also continue talking about other shows, other Black either sitcoms or comedies or whatever the case may be. Let us know if there's any shows that you want us to talk about, you know, to be more in depth. I know we made mention of a lot of stuff, and a lot of times we break down anime and things of that nature. And, you know, I want to say a few weeks ago, we talked about like the Fresh Prince and Martin and all that. There's a lot of shows we could talk about though. I May Destroy You is, yeah, that's a whole lot to unpack there. And so if you want us to hear, you know, we might just do it anyways, because this is a great show. But
we're going to have to do it episode by episode.
Yes, because, wow. But yeah, that might be the case, or we might talk about something else. Let us know. But in the meantime, also subscribe and hit the notification bell so you know when we're actually posting our content. Go ahead and check out UnitedFrontGaming.com. There's some more reviews went up. Our review for Destroy All Humans is going up pretty soon. I'm actually doing a couple things myself that's going to be going up pretty soon. So definitely go check those out. Also check out our Saturday night streams. I want to say tomorrow, or not tomorrow, Saturday, we're going to be streaming Fallout Guys, which looks hilarious from what I've seen. It's basically, think of those shows where, kind of like The Floor is Lava, but it's like 100 people all playing with these like really small, squishy people that kind of like bounce around everywhere. And the goal is to be the last person standing while you go through these obstacle courses. It looks like a blast. So we're going to be playing that on Saturday, 8 p.m. Eastern. So check us out there. And yeah, follow us on social media all over the place. All that information is in the description below. And yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, that's all I got. Everybody wear a mask. Be kind. Be generous. Don't be a dick. Hashtag. Yeah, all of that. Wear a mask.
Don't be just Terry Crews.
Don't be a Terry Crews. And don't be a Karen. Wear a mask. Stay inside. Social distance. Have a good night. Bye-bye.